When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Hey everybody, week 18, Civilized Barking. The end is near. Sunday, 1 o'clock. The artist formerly known as Heinz Field has been a house of horrors for the Browns. The Browns go over. For them, it's a last place or third place game. The Steelers need to win and need some things to happen to make the playoffs. They were 2-6. I was actually flying home last week. I didn't see their win. I'm a little surprised, you know, at the Steelers. I guess historically shouldn't be. I mean, Mike Tomlin's been the coach there since 2007. He's coached one game that they haven't been in playoff contention. Yes, one game. You know, but it's a rookie quarterback. It's not a dominant team. But here they are. And then the Browns, you know, we all know this roller coaster. If you're listening to this, God bless you, first of all. Secondly, you know the roller coaster that it's been since March, since September, through November and December. And last week was an example that each week we don't know if we're going to get a top seven defense or a bottom seven defense. And Carson Wentz certainly helped. But the vibes from the Browns last week are good. The result is what matters. It was good. It was time for the offense to score more than one touchdown. It scored three on three straight drives in the second half. And all of them were drives with run and pass. All of them were multi-play, big yard drives. I think 65 was the smallest of the three yardage-wise. It was red zone execution on two of them. You know, one, Amari just got away, but it was third down. It was throw it to your best player in that situation, and that was Amari Cooper. And he's in one-on-one coverage. He makes a guy miss and looks up on the scoreboard and there's nobody there, right? So Amari Cooper's been really, really good. And he's playing through injury. And, you know, he's a baller. He's a baller. This was the Browns' first move of the offseason. It was no doubt a good one. It was a slam dunk in the short term. And he's under contract at big dollars. But, you know, the Browns think he's going to produce. They know he's going to show up and work. And as this receiver room continues to evolve, and it will need to, you know, they think Amari Cooper, not just the production, but the presence will help. So, you know, it's Friday morning early as we record this. It's just kind of hectic here at the end of the year. So just wanted to spit through a few thoughts and takes and opinions and news items and get you caught up. And then, so what will be is Jason and I will both be at the game on Sunday. So we will have a live room after the game. I don't know exactly when that will be. Sometimes everything's a little different at the end of the year. No, Kevin Stefanski's not going to get fired in the stadium as so many of his predecessors have. At least we don't think so. We're pretty sure that he's not. But I don't know. So I wouldn't expect Jack Conklin or Denzel Ward to play. Could be wrong on that. But, you know, the Browns need to play the kids for one. They're heavily invested in these guys. And there's no such thing as a meaningless football game. You know, the events of last Monday in Cincinnati just reinforce what these guys go through and how dangerous this game is. But the Browns did it last week with Jalen Darden and with DeAnthony Bell and with Jerome Ford a little bit. The young guys have to get on the field. There's no better evaluation process, and this is about evaluating. This roster is not good enough. This roster is somewhat limited. Somewhat in its resources. Again, as you guys go about talking with your buddies at work and online, when the new cap numbers start popping up, it's going to show the Browns with only $2 or $3 million. That's not true. They have $30 million in rollover money that will come in, and the cap will go up. And you know, you just never know who's going to retire or you know who's going to re-sign. Nobody saw the Jack Conklin deal coming, right? So We'll see how that goes. The Browns will have money to address what they need to address to an extent. So it won't, you know, they'll have to be careful with it. But even as you see like trade options or other guys, they can do it. What they did last year with Watson's deal, and I know it was controversial because of the suspension and because of everything with him is, and with Amari Cooper's, is they restructured. So they acquired the players, they restructured, they pushed the money back to future years, and they made manageable cap room. That's what they did with John Johnson the year before. John Johnson got $25 million guaranteed, I think, from this team. The first year, he didn't cost much at all. Now, that's why he's 12 plus guaranteed next year. So we'll see. Jadeveon Clowney's been on one-year deals, but they've been dead money deals structured as longer. He's currently 6.4 dead money to next year, and he comes out and tells Cleveland.com he's not going to be here and has some selfish thoughts. And, you know, look, in every locker room, there's guys that think they're underused, and I think, like, we forget this is football. You know, there's things that go on and players that need to sort things out and either angry. And, you know, in good organizations, they probably get sorted out behind closed doors more than they do here. But it's a part of the game. And I would just say, as we're still a couple hours away from hearing from Coach Stefanski, from the defensive line coach Chris Kiffin, who's supposed to talk this morning, you know, what Clowney said or Clowney's saying it in and of itself is not an issue. It's not one thing. It's not why the Browns are sunk. You know, the Browns taking on Clowney, thinking that he's a winning player or thinking that he's about more than himself is, you know, you can nitpick that. You can say it's just the latest in a bunch of things that show this team was never connected. You know, there's been all sorts, and you'd be right about that. Again, they were never asking Clowney to be a leader, right? You know what you're getting and signing up for him. When you're doing that, you're saying we're here, we're good, we're ready to win. And then 2 years of Jadeveon Clowney, they haven't won. He's not going to play in a playoff game. You know, in the back half of this season, we've seen an impactful Jadeveon Clowney, and that helps this defense. So does your locker room, does your overall environment get better if and when he walks away? Sure. Does your roster get better? No. Do you create another need? I mean, they drafted Alex Wright. He's a prototype body. He's a nice young kid. He's played a lot. He's played 50% of the snaps. He doesn't have stats, defensive end stats, pressures and tip passes and sacks and hurries, and he doesn't have that. So he's a rookie. He'll get better. You know, you don't want to create more needs, but you have a bunch of needs because you're a middling roster. And they're going to bring everybody back. And again, they need to have a great offseason because this team is just not good enough. Their player acquisition methods have just not been good enough. And they're building of a locker room and a roster that's deep enough, that's competitive enough, that has enough leadership. It hasn't worked. It hasn't. And part of that has been draft failures. A lot of it's been arrogance. You'll continue to hear me say that. And a lot of it is just a disconnect in thinking that you're ready to take on these things that they've taken on and they haven't been. So, again, it's not all bad. You know, this offseason started with Amari Cooper, right? Like, Martin Emerson looks like he's going to be a keeper. But last year at this time, Greg Newsome looked like he was an A-list player too. So, we'll see. I don't expect the defensive coordinator to be back. I expect that the decision has been made long ago. I think, by the way, Joe Woods has acted in his press conferences and just after his Thursday press conference this week, he's kind of told you that. So a brand new defensive staff in a must-win environment. You know, we'll see. Does it make the Browns better? Probably. Does it make them a bunch better? Not without the right guys. You know, not without the right communication and chemistry and vision for what it's supposed to be and who those players are and what their makeup is. So Myles Garrett will have some stuff to say. You know, we'll see. Look, Amari Cooper is one thing, and he's 80 yards short, I think, of his career high. They would like to get him the ball, play him in your daily fantasy teams on Sunday, although you shouldn't be doing that shit in week 18 because it's too crazy and you're probably just giving your money away. But more specifically to Nick Chubb, to Denzel Ward, to Myles Garrett, these guys are great players. These guys have great production. They have great talent. They have Pro Bowls to back it up. They have name recognition. They've made their money here, right? They're on their second contracts. They've played in a few big games. But what separates them from so many of their peers, and I'm not going to go list by list, name by name, What makes this so hilarious when Miles insists on talking about himself as defensive player of the year and stuff like that. Look, these guys need to play in the big games to get the proper recognition or just the maybe not even the proper, because that opens up a whole different can. To be recognized among the best players in the league, the very best of the best, the top guys, these guys need to be playing in playoff games. They need to be playing on Sunday Night Football in Week 11 and Week 13 and winning. You know, they need to be making these plays against the best of the best. And they have against Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, you know, to an extent. But if there's frustration there, and yes, what I'm saying is if Miles asks out, you have to understand. Now, I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm not saying he's going to. This is just not – the Browns are not in a good spot, right? They've gone backwards for 2 years. They traded the farm and punted the season based on Deshaun Watson, and he's getting better, and maybe he's going to be great. But it is very clear that the roster is not good enough for this team to be a contender. There's disconnect, you know, coach to front office, front office to locker room to coach. And again, there's some of that everywhere. But seven teams in the AFC make the playoffs, guys. The result of the Jets game would have made November and December more interesting. But nobody looks and says the Browns are in that top four mix, right? And, you know, I'm excited to see Watson's progress. It was only 9 completions last week. It was a weird game. It's been a weird month. You know, really in every game except Houston, we've seen 1 or 2 of those throws. It was 3 or 4 of them last week. It was finally getting the results, and that matters. Just like Delpit having a 2-interception game. Like, sometimes guys just need to see it happen for their confidence, for their progress, for it to become more consistent, right? But this is not, you know, Watson is not Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen, and he's not going to be. And this offense here, which, you know, it just there's just questions. There's not enough good receivers. The O-line is not what it was. And the defense is a mess. In the locker room, again, for the second straight year, we have questions. And that's not even to mention the game management. And that's not even to mention that it feels like they're going to keep the special teams coach. And so, you know, at this time next year, the Browns are probably, I don't know. Do you want them to be a playoff team? Sure. Could they be? Yes. Would you go on now that betting's legal in Ohio and bet even a dollar that it's anything but another 8 or 9 win season and people getting fired? Like, it would take a great offseason for that to change. So can they have a great offseason? Yes. Is there any real evidence, real data that they're going to have a great offseason? No. Nope, there's not.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so items here, you know. Excited to see George Pickens and Kenny Pickett against this Browns defense, even if Ward doesn't play. We remember the catch the Pickens made in week one. Or week three, excuse me, the first time these guys played. The Steelers didn't have T.J. Watt in that game. He's back, and since he's been back, their defensive numbers are outrageous. T.J. Watt is outrageous. Highsmith, the other guy who plays opposite him. It's weird that you can find good players in mid-round picks. Anyway, he has 12 and a half sacks. He's been good. The Steelers are still a little susceptible to the run. Now, I don't think the Browns want to run Nick Chubb 25, 30 times, but it'll be interesting to see if they can get in that kind of situation. I mean, I think the offense will play better, but I still think this is a 13 or 17 wins this game. I'd be surprised if this is a 27-24 type game. But we'll see. I've been surprised before. The local PFWA, Pro Football Writers of America, voted Joel Bitonio as the team MVP. Jacoby Brissett is the good guy award winner. And just to sum up the season, the good guy award winner did not talk on the day the awards were given out. So that just kind of sums up the season. A backup quarterback winning it, you know, again, kind of sums up the season. So we'll see. I don't know, you know, when we'll hear about the defensive coordinator, assuming we do. I would assume it will be Monday morning. you know, tentatively, and again, this is all at team's discretion, and it's all different the last couple of years because of the COVID rules that we had and all that stuff. You know, generally the players are available to talk to the media on locker cleanout day, which is Monday. And then a lot of times the coach talks that day. Sometimes he doesn't. You usually hear from the GM at the end of the year. But whether that's next Monday, next Tuesday, next Thursday, I don't know. We will have podcasts. We will break it down. You know, if the defensive coordinator goes, probably the whole defensive staff goes. There might be one or two guys who are favorites. You know, on the offensive side, I don't know if Alex Van Pelt and Drew Petzing are going to be back. It's possible that they don't know. You know, as there's coaching changes and staffs remade and stuff here in this. And again, with Prefer, we'll see. You know, draw your own conclusions there. So, yeah. You know, James Hudson needs to play, right? And Jalen Darden does have some pop to him. He's a little guy, so I'd like to see him play. Jerome Ford needs to play. We don't think Kareem Hunt's going to be back. You know, how they handle the Clowney thing. Does he even dress on Sunday? You know, we'll see. He probably does. Again, you know, I don't need my coach and my GM to – show us the nuclear secrets and the game plan and tell us when they're going to run a fake punt or, you know, when they're going to blitz eight guys on third down. But when they don't answer anything, it always makes these conversations more awkward. So just a thing, just from where I sit. And, you know, I'll be in the press box Sunday going over there. I mean, the Browns won there in 2002 and the Browns won the playoff game. And that was supposed to signal the change. I said it a million times. The Browns will be back when they win in Hines, and they went over there and they destroyed that team. And then since then, we'll see. I mean, the craziest stat is the Browns haven't swept the Steelers since 1988. There was like no Browns players that were alive then. So we'll see. It's one more game. It's fun. And then, of course, you know, when you cover the Browns, when you follow the Browns, the offseason is the season. So we'll regather on Monday. Oh, actually Sunday with the live room. Thanks for listening, for reading all year. We're not done. We're just getting started. Going to be a big month because Joe Thomas is going to go in the Hall of Fame in February. Probably going to be a defensive coordinator search. And then other things will get sorted out. So stick with us. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon on Civilized Barking.